Christ Arose, 138, Christ Arose.
Dark.
and thank you for your singing.
Last night I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. Once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore.
Thank you, Lord. card for Dad Tucker. Father, thank you for this Resurrection Day and the opportunity to bring exaltation to our Lord Jesus Christ. How we praise you, Father, for your plan and the outworking of it. And we know that by your Spirit, you raised him from the dead. And I'm asking that by your Spirit that you would accomplish in our hearts and our lives today what's on your heart. We just commit the time to the direction of your Holy Spirit in our lives now in Jesus' name. Amen. I picked this passage in Revelation just to begin with here John exiled to the Patmos for his faith as a captive there, that God chose to use that time to show him and display the revelation of the last things. Also, the evaluation of these seven churches, which to me is a reminder of our Lord Jesus Christ in evaluating. Every believer here is going to one day be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ, and you get some kind of idea what's on our Savior's heart. And the thing that I've shared there is they had opportunity to correct those things in their lives that needed to correct, and of course he praised them for that was worthy of being praised. But John sees him in his glory, and of course John leaned on his breast at the supper, but now he saw one like unto the Son of Man. And so really there is a Savior in a glorified person as the man the Lord Jesus Christ sent to die for us and to rescue us from our hell. But I like his testimony, and he told John to fear not. I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth. He's eternal God in the presence of the Father. I am he that liveth and was dead, which is an amazing thing. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. And I just want on this Resurrection Day to first of all just to expose and to us a reminder of the Father's plan, that basically I would say his plan is that the Lord Jesus Christ would become like us so that our trusting him, we could become like him. And that's his eternal plan. And I just go back for a moment back to Genesis 3 in the Father dealing with the wicked one who appeared to Eve in the form of a serpent, which obviously was a beautiful creature at that time, and beguiled her and got her into disobedience to God. Don't ever touch of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That day you'll die. And he's talking about dying spiritually. She not only listened to the serpent, took of that, gave to Adam, and hence the whole mankind from that day on were lost in sin. But God had a plan. And a couple things I would point out. There are several things he passed on. Of course, the serpent, you're going to be cast down and you're going to be smelling the dust from here on. He never likes to be reminded of that, I can tell you. but you came after the woman. And I'm going to set enmity between you and the woman, and there will be a anger and a hatred between you and the woman. And I would just for a moment just share that I believe Christian women have such a potential of hating the kingdom of darkness and doing whatever God shows them to stand against it. There's not that all of us. I really hate what Satan does to people and when he takes advantage of people and all of that. But I do think there's a special potential for women to have an anger and a wrath against, righteous wrath against that wicked one. But then he said, I tell you, and I've been interested in looking the conflict between Satan and God. Satan always somehow thinks he's going to come out on top, and he never does, he never will. And let me just say at this point, I've been thinking a lot about the truth that the way down is up. Lucifer, he decided he's not going to be under God, I'm going to be like him, and it cast him to the ground. The Lord Jesus, the way up is down, and he was willing to come and humble himself, and he's greatly exalted and will be exalted throughout the eternities by all of us that have been rescued and by all of the angels of God. The way up is down, and the way down often is up. God hates pride, and he judges pride. He loves humility. But he has this plan. Satan now has done a horrible thing in beguiling mankind into a fallen creature down through the generations. And what God said at that point, I am going to use the seed of woman, Satan, or it was that was Satan in that person there. I'm going to use the seed of woman to bruise your head. I'm going to do you away with the seed of woman. You'll bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. And so that was God's plan. God's plan often takes a long, long time. And sometimes his work in our lives takes such a long, long time. But all these millenniums later, Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So here's the outworking as Gabriel comes to Mary, young virgin girl, in an engagement, but with this word, that God has a plan for you that you would bring into this world the Lord Jesus. And she said, how can that happen? Because I'm not a married man. I'm not a married woman. Said that the Spirit of God would come upon you, and this child will receive his manhood from your seed, but the Lord Jesus would come by the Spirit of God. And so you're going to call his name Jesus. And the amazing thing, and for me to ponder, that the Lord Jesus in the glory of heaven to step down and to take up residence in the seed of a woman and to be born and to live, which he did through all these years up to about 33. We had children here today. Jesus knows what it was to live at 6 years old. He knows what it is to be 13. He knows what it is to be 21, whatever. He lived through those. And part of what he did, of course, the ultimate thing was he came to die in our place as our substitute so that we could be born into God's family. But he also came to be our high priest. Now, he's omniscient and knows everything, but it's very different from experiencing it. So when you have a struggle and Jesus as your Savior come to him, he understands. He's been there. He's lived through it. He knows what it is to battle the wicked one. Always Satan was coming after him, tempting him, always without sin. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to be hungry. We see that throughout Scripture of what he went through. He came very ordinary. And I just would remind us that of what Isaiah wrote concerning him. It's not the way we would do it, I think, if we were coming down to do what the Jesus what he did for us. Isaiah writes, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He came very ordinary. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Isaiah goes on to say how he became really by his stripes that we could be healed. When he came home to Nazareth and picked up Isaiah 61 and was reading it, and then said to them where it says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, hath anointed me to do all these things, preach the gospel, heal broken hearts, set captives free, open blind eyes and so forth, set at liberty them that are bruised. And then he said to them, this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. And I try to imagine those that grew up around him, those that are used to him coming in and reading scripture, and for him to say, this scripture is talking about me, and it's fulfilled in your ears today. They said, isn't this Joseph's son? We know him. He's ordinary. One of the things I've thought about recently, how ordinary he was in how he looked, not in how he behaved, but how he looked, that Judas had to kiss him so that they would know who he was. It was not like the teacher stood out so much from the others that they would just know. So he came very ordinary. He came, he humbled himself, and he came and lived in that way. But I will tell you that Satan knew him. The demons knew him, and many times as he was casting out spirits, they say, we know who you are. And people around him maybe had a hard time coming to understand. And all of the wrath of mankind was poured out. So God said that the seed of woman is going to bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel. And what we see in the matter of leading up to, they are always, people always wanting to kill him, always wanting to do away with him. And you know that the enemy was behind that. And ultimately, the wicked one, through people, was able to bruise his heel. And he died for us, suffered the wrath against us. And I guess the one thing that, the moment that he shares, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Throughout eternity past, he had this fellowship with the Father. But at that moment when our sin was being borne by him, there was that brokenness, and he sensed that brokenness and fellowship with the Father because of my sin, your sin, the sins of the world that were being paid for by him. And indeed, Satan bruised his heel. But he took on flesh that he could die in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he may hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died in our place. He died in my place. And that was God's plan, that the seed of woman will end up bruising your head, Satan. So then on the third day, the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. Romans 8:11 said that the Spirit raised him from the dead. In Ephesians 1, talking about the power of God that's available to us, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, seated him at the right hand of the Father above all principality and power that there is. In 1 Corinthians 15, I want to go there just a moment because that's that resurrection chapter. But Paul talks about his resurrection here. It's the first spiritual resurrection. And I would just say this. Jesus raised people from the dead. And people in the Old Testament were raised from the dead, but they were raised from the dead to die again. And that's why Jesus said to John, and I live forevermore. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So our Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection was resurrected to a spiritual body. And he had shown on resurrection day as he went to be with his disciples that evening. And one of the things he did with the two on the way to Emmaus, and also as he was with his own, he took them to Scripture, which is pretty interesting to me. Here I am alive, but he also said, "It is me. You can see the scars in my hands." And later on, Thomas, he said, put your hand in the scar in my side. And because Thomas wasn't there and he was kind of unbelieving, and he said, unless I get to see it and feel it myself. And then he said, "My Lord, my God." I just say this. He said, "Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe." So there's a blessing for those of us that do believe. But John saw him as a Son of Man. He saw him in the glory of heaven. But he said, "I live. I was dead." The body of flesh that he received from Mary's seed, it died. And so he said, and I died, but I am alive forevermore. And I just remind us again that in God's plan way back there in Genesis 3 was that the seed of woman would be used so that the Lord Jesus would become like we are. He'd be our high priest. He would walk here and show us how to live and ultimately die for us. And so that ultimately we could be like him. And that's what I want to just mention here a little bit about our resurrection. It's the resurrection we honor and worship today of our Lord Jesus, but it is the first. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said this in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." First fruits is always like the rest of the crop, but it's the very first. He's the first fruit. "For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But listen to this, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ's, at his coming." At his coming, when he comes again, those that have died and received their resurrected body, those that are alive, and in fact, he shared it this way in verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," we're not all going to die, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one of the wonderful things about it is not only that he lives alive forevermore, and we see him in the revelation, in the picture in heaven as the Lamb of God, the one that was willing to be our sacrifice for us. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So on this resurrection day, I just want to remind us of God's eternal plan, his decision. "My son, God the Son, will be in a different form throughout eternity, because it was necessary for him to pay the price, take on flesh, die, and have a resurrected new life that I think we'll always be able to see the scars that purchased us. But in God's mind, it's worth it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I would just say this without going to the scripture. In Revelation 20:10, we see that that wicked one is put forever in hell to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And Jesus has the keys. He did a horrible thing. The serpent did a horrible thing throughout mankind. But God did a wonderful thing in sending his dear Son. And let me just remind you of how Paul told the Philippians, fortifying picture about that the way up is down. Just about there. Philippians 2, where Paul says, have this same kind of mindset that the Savior did, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other translations, he was actually God the Son in his presence, and it was not something that needed to be given up. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In a real way, the way up is down spiritually. And when he humbled himself, he forever will be exalted, our risen Savior. God sort of prompted me just before I close this morning to say maybe somebody is here, never had the opportunity to open your heart to receive Jesus, that you never had clarity on it or something. And I just want to remind you that today, my hope, my assurance of heaven goes back to when I was 9 years old. And when I was 9 years old, I was in a service, and I wanted Jesus as my Savior. And somebody helped me pray a prayer that day. And I just want you to know, you know, I'm not going to heaven someday because of what I've done. I'm going to heaven someday because I invited Jesus to be my Savior. And my prayer was very simple, and I prayed something like this. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I need a Savior. And I invite you to be my Savior. I choose you to be my Savior and live for you. And I just want you to know that it's not in the words, it's in your heart, and it's your inviting him to be your Savior. On this resurrection day, if you have that need, you pray a simple prayer, inviting him to be your Savior, and then tell somebody that you did it. I was led by somebody that day to pray that simple prayer. But I can tell you, I have not lived with doubt. I was born into God's family because Jesus was willing to come and pay the price for me, and I received the gift. If you're here and would like some help on that, we're here to be of help to you. But don't let Resurrection Day go by without knowing that someday you're going to be like him in his presence in heaven. Father, I just thank you today so much for paying the price. Satan had his plan, horrible plan of destruction, but at that very moment, you declared your plan. because you love us, because you didn't want us to be lost forever. Thank you for paying the price, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come down here at the Father's will to rescue us. We praise you, our resurrected Savior, today. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the hymn, Hallelujah, What a Savior. It's a very worshipful hymn, and if we could turn to that, why don't you take that hymn, and if we could stand together, we'll close our service. 133. Let's sing all the verses just in praise to what a Savior we have. Thank you, Father, for your plan. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.